The reading is from Exodus, chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, and you will be for me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speak with you, and you will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Simon. So if you'd like to follow along, I'll stick quite closely to it today. So we're page 76 of Exodus 19, if you want to follow along. And so I wonder what your most treasured possession is. What might be the thing in your house that you would grab first if you had to leave in a hurry? Why is that particular item so treasured by you? For me, one of the things I would think of would be a painting done by a friend. And it's treasured because it's a personal gift. It was made just for me, and it's completely irreplaceable. There's only one original, and it cannot be redone in the same way. And I'd love you to hold in your mind those reasons for whatever that item was that you went to. And I'll return to that feeling. And so last week, Carl was talking about Jethro, who's the father-in-law of Moses, and he was hearing from Moses all that's going on among the people and the leadership role that Moses has been taking. And he seems to think that it's quite a complex and numerous group of people to lead on his own. And so he's told that he needs to seek some help. And so we're beginning to see at this stage of the Exodus story that a people group is being formed and the governing of that people group, and there's some order needed, and they're going to be a nation that lives under God. And so we come to a point where the Israelites have been wandering for a long time, and they've now reached Sinai. And Sinai is going to become a highly significant location for the people of Israel, but also in the future for all Jews, Christians, and Muslims, as it's the place where the Ten Commandments will be received by Moses and where God will make his covenant with his people. And so it's a highly sacred place that the Israelites have now landed to camp. And we see throughout Scripture that mountains in general are places where people meet with God. Even Jesus goes up mountains to pray. But Mount Sinai is a place that's of particular significance for meeting with God. And so in our passage, Moses goes up the mountain to talk to God, and he is the go-between to communicate between God and the people. And when you see it played out in this passage like this, it made me realize what a privilege we have, that because of Jesus, we no longer need a go-between. We're able to approach God ourselves and speak to him because we have been clothed in Christ's righteousness. And so we are able to go and talk to God, made clean before him, even though he is totally holy and totally other. And we cannot forget how indescribable that gift is. We can't get used to that idea. And reading things like this makes us realize what a privilege we have in being able to talk to our God whenever we want and wherever we want. Just imagine if we had to climb a whole mountain every time we wanted to pray. I would hope we'd get very fit because we'd be doing it regularly. But on the mountain, the Lord describes to Moses the deeds he has done in Egypt that we've journeyed through in this sermon series. Part of the beauty of being able to go slowly through the book of Exodus is that we've seen in great detail the amazing things God has done for the people. And now God gives the people a commission or a charge. He says, "If you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all peoples." And the word here in Hebrew for treasure possession in ancient times would have referred to the special treasure that a conquering king would have chosen for himself out of all the spoils of a war. It would have been the one thing he picked out. And so it holds the sense of something becoming a personal belonging, an unusual and special treasure. It sometimes gets translated as jewels. So God is saying to his people that they will be like jewels to him. Now, I wonder what the reasons were that you held for what that treasured possession was for you. What things made it so special to you? Maybe like mine, it was the personal and irreplaceable nature of it. But in all these definitions of what treasured might mean, there's something about the people being chosen by God. And this chosenness hints at the set-apartness that becomes the theme of the rest of this passage today. And it's important to say that it's not a chosenness because God loves this one people group more than any other. God is not partial like that. But it is a chosenness of this people because he has a special task and purpose for them. And the beautiful thing in this passage is that with this word treasured possession, God is assuring the people who have been wandering, who have left everything behind, who have suffered much, who don't know which way they're going or where they are, he's saying to them, "You are my treasured possession, and so you have a secure identity in God, an identity where they are loved and chosen and have a purpose." It's an identity where they are a jewel belonging to a God who delights in them. And God then goes on to say, "For all the earth is mine." And only the God who holds the earth can offer these kind of promises that we've heard. It's only his to give the favor, the land, the ability to set apart. It all belongs to the God who is Lord of all. And God then says something unusual. He says, "You will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And what does he mean by that? What would have been the understanding of a priest then? Priests would have been seen probably as a select group of people set apart to live holy and upright and ideally perfect lives, and to be a go-between between God and the people, just like Moses was doing, going up the mountain, receiving a message and coming down and delivering it. But also they would have been people who could offer sacrifices for sin and seek God's forgiveness for the people. So then what does God mean when he says that he wants the whole nation to be a kingdom of priests? Well, I want to suggest that he means a whole nation of people set apart for God's purposes and God's ways. A whole nation seeking the well-being of the people and proclaiming the good news of the God of mercy, justice, and rescue that they have seen throughout their time in Egypt and in coming out. But in order for them to display the goodness of God to a wider world, they have to be different to that world. They have to live distinctively. And many different ways of doing this will be described in the following books after Exodus, where the law is laid out for the Jewish people. It's all about how they can live differently as God's people in strange lands. And when Moses relays all of these words of the Lord to the people, they unanimously say, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." They are ready to accept the challenge, and their obedience to God is promised. Which means God makes them his treasured possession, and he commissions them to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, set apart to live in God's ways and purposes. And then the rest of the Old Testament records the story of how well or how not well they did this, of them either seeking God's ways and purposes or getting distracted and living according to their own ways. And there is a whole cycle of God calling the people back to himself time and again every time they stray. calling them back in repentance and forgiveness. And so in our passage today, we see the beginning of the call of the people of God that will be worked out throughout the rest of the Bible. And so what does all that mean for us as Christians today? Well, the good news is that through Jesus, we have been grafted into the people of God. And we have been offered a new covenant. And this new covenant is received when we come to Jesus in repentance and receive his forgiveness, just as we have done in confession just before this. And when we come to Jesus like that, we are then baptized in water and the Spirit, which enables us to live in obedience to God's commands and to live in accordance with his ways. And God, in his great kindness and mercy, offers us sonship and daughtership. He calls us his treasured possessions too. And so this same calling to obey God and be his treasured one is offered to us as Christians, along with the calling to be a kingdom of priests, to be God's witnesses in the world, set apart, holy, and distinct to the world around us, living in God's ways and purposes. And so God loves us completely as his treasure possession. He gave everything that you might be called his. And so we respond to that invitation of love in love for God. And that is made concrete by the way that we love one another, by the way that we care for our fellow brothers and sisters. And that is what the priestly calling is of all those in the kingdom of God. And Graham Tomlin, my former bishop and a very good theologian, although I'm a bit biased, writes about the widening circle of God's blessing. He says that God has a habit in Scripture of choosing a part in order to bless the whole. And of course, God's ultimate choice is Jesus, and Jesus is the true priest through whom God chooses to bless the whole of the earth. And he says that Jesus's true priesthood is played out in our lives. It's played out in the world. First, in humanity itself, called to be a priestly presence to all creation, but also in the church, called to be the priestly presence of God to the rest of the world. And lastly, in the minister, the priest with a capital P, who is called to be priestly towards the church. And so it's this circle of care, of blessing, that grows outwards. But in every case, it is that pattern of the part being called to bless the whole. And so this calling that we have, it's partly to care for creation. It's partly to care for people by sharing the good news, by extending compassion. And it's also worship. Our task as a priestly people is to worship God, joining Jesus in the praise of the Father and inviting our friends, our neighbours, our family members into that. Urging everyone that we know to be reconciled to their Creator too. And it's also caring for the whole person in front of us, living in compassion that comes from Jesus and the love of the Father, letting both those things flow through us to the people that we know. And I think what better time to get excited about our priestly calling than right now? We're seeing amazing things happen up and down our country. It's in the news. We're seeing journalists coming to faith. We're seeing a reviving of spirituality in our land. It's something that people have prayed for generations, and it's wonderful to see. And it's happening here too in this parish. We're seeing people coming to faith and being drawn to God. And so now is the time we desperately need to take hold of this priestly calling, to hold before those that we know, those that we meet, the truth about the God who calls us sons and daughters and who makes us his treasured possession. And to tell people about the God that has a purpose and a task for us. So many in our world are searching for a sense of purpose, to know why they're here and why they're made. And if you're sitting in one of these seats, no matter how new you might be, you hold a truth about why you're here, about who you are, and about the God that loves you so indescribably. And you can share that truth with a hungry and waiting world. And so, safe in the knowledge that we are treasured by God, let's be spurred on to engage our calling as a kingdom of priests, obeying God and living according to his ways, and sharing the good news with our world that it might be blessed by that God who says, all of the earth is mine. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who chose to give everything for us. You gave everything that we might be called yours. Thank you, Lord, that you treasure each and every person in this room, that you delight in them. They are your precious jewels. Lord, we pray that you would speak your love and your identity into each of our hearts this morning. Show us who you have made us to be and what you are calling each one of us to. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us boldness to take up our priestly role in all of the places that you have put us out in the world. Give us faith and courage to speak of who you are and to share the good news that we too have received. In Jesus' name, amen.